The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles
in your soul. Yes, it does.
It certainly does.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Totally settles in your soul.
Absolutely.
You think so, Wynn?
I do. I know so.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jerry Raposo. I'm here with Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Winster. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Thank you.
We're also here with that other beautiful voice over there, Lori Jones.
Thank you.
And Patrick Jones, who see drags everywhere.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Wearing his favorite coat.
My duck hunting coat.
Your duck hunting coat. Yes. So
warm and woolly.
So welcome to this continuing soiree. And Janet Chandler's not here today, so I can use the word soiree, which means a continuing party. However, a soiree is supposed to be done in the evening, but we do it all the time. We don't care.
We party all the time.
That's it.
Party all the time.
We're broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and we are streaming live all over the world right now at KCNRradio.com, KCNRradio.com. And we archive 5 minutes after we're over with, right, Alex?
You're exactly right.
Yep. And you can get it and share it with all your friends and all that good stuff, because you really need to share this program.
Forever
everybody.
And ever. Forever and ever.
And we do archive forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. So we're here with Lori and Patrick, and Lori has a couple of announcements.
Yeah, I would like to make the listeners aware today, as a matter of fact, on Wynn's birthday, we are having up in Shingletown at the Shingletown Volunteer Fire Department. Clint Curtis is going to be up there for a meet and greet at 2 p.m. So come on up, get your questions answered. Love to talk with you. And the next one coming up will be next week on Saturday, the 18th, in Shasta Lake City. A little free barbecue and some fun games for the kids. So come on out, meet Clint there. Talk to him, get your questions answered. That will be at Dan's Optical. We'll start at 11 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon, and the barbecue is going to be excellent. We'll have our big barbecue out there, some incredible meat that will be cooked up by our wonderful friend, and I think you're going to enjoy it, so come on out.
All right.
Very fun. So, Patrick, we have, on a more serious note here, we have some information that you've come across. You've been getting us out to the public, and it seems like every time we peel back this onion, we find more, dare I say, corruption.
Layers and layers.
Yeah, it's always very interesting. And so for those that don't know me, I was on Reading City Council from 2006 to 2015, mayor in 2010. I was on the Shasta County Board of Supervisors from 2021 to 2025. And so I've served both in the city and in the county. And, you know, looking back, I really did enjoy working at the county much more, because we have today a much more conservative board, starting in late 2022 and then, you know, in earnest in 2023 when I became chair of Shasta County Board of Supervisors. And so it's a lot of work. You're on a lot of committees. You're doing a lot of investigating. And I have a basic distrust for government in the first place. And it's not that there's not good people, but there are some bad people. And they do bad things. And when I first got to the county, our CEO at the time was Matt Pontus. I had a sit down meeting with him the very first day. And that lasted about 2 hours, and I just knew something wasn't right with this gentleman. I didn't know what it was. It was just your gut instinct, your first instinct is something's not right, and I've met many, many CEOs and city managers over the years. And so I really read every report, deep dive into every staff report the best I could. Now, recently, just a little over a week ago, and I commonly do this about every month or month and a half or so when I get bored or something, I have a little free time. I'll go online and take a look at Transparent California. And a lot of times I'm just looking at, you know, City of Reading, who's getting paid the most, who's getting paid the least. Sometimes it's shocking to see, you know, a police officer make $600,000 a year or stuff
places.
Like this.
Here in Reading?
Yes, in Reading.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
is that with overtime?
That's overtime, yeah.
And benefits, the whole package.
You'd have to look at all of it, but yeah, it's probably $600,000 in pay and benefits. So when you're looking at Transparent California and you're looking at that far right column, it says pay and benefits. So it's your total pay. So it's your pay, it's your overtime pay, it's, you know, certificate, everything on the far right column. But this, you know, about a week and a half ago, for some reason, I noticed there was a special category, sheriffs. And so I just looked up elected sheriffs just for fun, you know, and started looking at what sheriffs in California, all the counties, what they make. And these are the elected sheriff, not sheriff deputies or sergeants or captains, but these are elected sheriffs. And I saw, you know, starting off, I think a couple down in Southern California had made, you know, $600,000 in pay and benefits, some at $550,000. I see our sheriff, Michael Johnson, $445,000.
What?
Well, that's pay and benefits. And this is the far right column when you go to Transparent California. And that's not real shocking yet because benefits for public safety is very high. And you look down, and so he's, you know, there was nothing really alarming at that point. You see a lot of others in the 400 or the 300 range and some less than that. So nothing really concerning there, but I came back and I was looking at the 2024. That's the last, that's the most current one from Transparent California. And I go back to his benefits and it's zero. And I go, well, that's not right. He's our sheriff. You know, he's going to be paying into benefits. So I go back to 2023 and the same thing. It's zero. I go back to 2022 and it's $6,000. I'm thinking all three of those are wrong. He's our sheriff. I go back to 2021 and there's where he's paying in normal amount of benefits. And, so this didn't make, any sense why that, you know, so the far right column is showing $445,000, but nothing paid into benefits, which would typically your base pay and your benefits would get to the $445,000. Well, in this case, he's taking home $445,000. There's no pay into his benefits. So what I have confirmed now, and this is very breaking news, it will be out to the public starting now and hopefully next week in earnest. Sheriff Johnson, secretly, behind closed doors with our corrupt, crooked, and rotten Matt Pontus, Leonard Modi, Eric Magrini, all conspiring. They found a new law that passed in 2017 that would allow you to retire from CalPERS and be rehired back as an elected with unlimited hours. And that's what they did. So in 2022, which, as you know, was an election year, Michael Johnson retired from CalPERS, started receiving CalPERS pay, and got full pay from the county. So that $445,000 is his take-home pay. Now, to be honest, I can't see another sheriff in California's history taking home any more money than that. He may be the highest paid sheriff now in California history. And that was in 2024, so clearly 2025 and 2026. He's roughly pulling in about $1 million every 2 years. And no one knew about it. Now, I was vice chair in 2022. No one knew. No one knew this was going to occur. And, of course, if it was known during that election cycle, do you think he would be sheriff? He would have absolutely not been elected. John Green should be your sheriff for doing such a thing. There have been police chiefs in California before 2016 that were caught doing this, brought up on felony charges and faced prison time for doing this type of thing. And then quietly in the night in 2017, they changed the law to allow electeds to not be referred to as retired annuitants, which those folks could come back with a 180-day separation. They can work 960 hours a year, and I think they can only do it for 5 years. But here they changed it for electeds to work unlimited hours. Now, it's not illegal what he did. In fact, I called Michael Johnson, and he said, this is not illegal. It's just highly unethical. And I asked him, the board was not aware, and he goes, I didn't think I had to tell the board. Well, that's not a true statement. He deliberately chose not to tell the board.
Because, is he legally obligated to tell the board?
This is the unknown part. But either way, it wasn't right. He knew it wasn't right. He knew the public would have an interest in that, and the board would have an interest in that. And he, in essence, changed the outcome of an election because of that. Now, I suspect, this is just my own opinion, I suspect he did not know about this law change in 2017. I suspect that Matt Pontus and Leonard Modi approached him and gave him this new information. And of course, he took it. They kept it quiet. And now the sheriff is going to be very, very good friends with someone that just helped him pull down almost $500,000 a year. And this was what was going on in county government before I got there and while I was there. When you have just some very bad actors in a convicted felon as your CEO, Matt Pontus, you have Eric Magrini, bad actors, and just rotten Leonard Modi, all controlling the show behind the scenes, and then new people coming in trying to peel this thing back. So here we're just now finding out in these last 2 weeks that our sheriff is massively double-dipping, taking home almost $40,000 a month, $500,000 a year, and it happened during my time because it was withheld from us. We had our county council, again, rotten Ruben Cruz, withholding stuff from us. This was just the rot that was in the county government. These guys were withholding all types of things. Entire cases were withheld from the board, completely illegal. In this particular case, it's not illegal what Michael Johnson did. It's just highly unethical. The public was not informed. It would have changed the election for sure. I'm bringing it out now, and you know what was interesting is when I called Sheriff Johnson, within 30 minutes the CEO is calling me, and so obviously the sheriff quickly called the CEO and said, looks like former Supervisor Jones has found out about my double dipping. So the CEO calls me and he says, I just want you to be factual on the information. I said, the fact, it's he's double dipping and he didn't tell anyone. That's a fact. And
so, okay, I have a quick question then. He had an obligation to tell the citizens who voted him into that position to inform the citizens, the voters of Shasta County. I mean, you let your employer know when you are retiring. And the employer, for him as an elected, is the citizenry and the voters of Shasta County.
Well, and certainly the board, too. You know, I mean, we supply him. We pay his salary, right? The board,
right.
A board approves that.
It starts there with the board to inform them, so then you can announce it to the public.
Right. And so, you know, I'm not sure the legality of not informing the public. Him being able to do it, yes, under the new change in 17. But
and then who changed that? Did the legislature or did just the governor?
Legislature. Yeah.
Oh.
And done quietly. No one ever heard about it.
Of course.
I was not aware of it. When I heard about the double dipping, I said, that's illegal, right? And then you do a little research and you find out, nope. Now the question is, now that it's known, is the DA going to do it? Is the auditor, controller, tax collector, anybody that's elected, are they going to be doing these same things? So my fix for this, and I will be requesting this of the board fairly soon, is that we're going to need a county ordinance that if this were to be done on anybody moving forward, that is an agendized item. The board is going to make their views known, and the public is going to be aware of it. And while it may be legal to do, I want to make sure that the county has a ordinance in place that the public is aware of it, and see what the public thinks about the double dipping.
Right. Well, and there's also something that I recall, because you know that I attended the meetings, especially when you were in office, because it's fascinating to me, and I want to be up on what's going on with our county. But I do remember that appointment process of the sheriff, Johnson, coming in, not sheriff at that time, but being appointed. And I remember some of the discussion was, well, you know, you're reaching retirement age. Are you just going to get in the office and then retire, and then they're going to appoint somebody else? Is this going to happen? And I recall him saying, no, I'm not going to be doing that. So maybe he wasn't being quite truthful in the way he did it. At that point, he could have already been retired because that was in 22, correct?
So, he was appointed in 2021, and I did not appoint him. It was a 4-1, and my...
you wanted the election.
Yeah, and so what I had said was because the previous sheriff, Eric McGreeny, was appointed, mm-hmm. and that obviously mm-hmm. went very poorly. Sheriff should be elected mm-hmm. by the public, and absolutely. We've had a long history of that here. Mm-hmm. And so the failed appointment of Eric McGreeny, we should not be appointing, and we have an election coming up with 6 months. And so I asked Chief Johnson at the time, don't accept this appointment. Let the process play out. If you win, you'll be sheriff. If you lose, you'll still have your chief's job in Anderson, mm-hmm. And let it play out. That would be fair. And I was not trying to be mean or anything. I just really felt that that's what should happen. The rest of the board disagreed with me. And Mike Johnson had come up to the third floor at 1450 Court Street many times prior to this appointment. So they were already talking.
Who's they?
That's Matt Pontus was already okay. talking with okay. Chief Johnson at the time, and basically setting this up. The board had to approve it at all. It needed board approval. They didn't sweep that one under the rug on us.
Remind us who all was on the board at that time?
So you had Leonard Modi, you had Mary Rickert, you had Joe Cimenti, and Les Baugh and myself.
Okay, all right.
And so on a 4-1, he was appointed. Now, he obviously took offense to me at that time, and I could tell that he wanted that a 5-0. And so when I became chair, I noticed when I would ask for a person to be removed for being disruptive, and I would give not one warning, two warnings, three warnings for disruptive behavior in the audience, the sheriff would not arrest the persons. And so
right.
that whole entire year of 2023, it was as if Sheriff Johnson was retaliating against me and not allowing me to be able to control a meeting, and often we'd have to call a recess because these people knew that there was no penalty because the failure of the sheriff not using the Penal Code 403, which they're doing now, but he would not do it, and I asked many times,
But also at that time, weren't there nothing against the private companies, but wasn't it just the security company that was in there at that point?
No, we had...
But you had a deputy in there?
We had sheriff deputies, two sheriff deputies, and
okay.
so we got to the point where they're not doing what I'm asking, so let's get rid of them and get a private firm to do it. Well, they wouldn't do it either. They were still seeking advice from the sheriff, and so we got rid of them. We need order inside the boardroom. When you have disruptions, they need mm-hmm. to be removed. It's
right.
plain and simple.
Right.
And then prosecuted, which has happened later, but not at that time.
5 years later.
Well, what's
later.
Unfortunate is multiple times I heard you say, I'm sure that Chief Johnson would make a good sheriff. That's not what's in question. Multiple times you said that. You never degraded him as a person or his ability to be there. You just said, let's go with our election process. Let's follow something
right.
that we've made mistakes in the past by appointing. It's only 6 months out. That's not that long. Let's just do that. So it's unfortunate if he, took any ill regard towards you.
No, he surprised a lot of people in some of his actions. So if you have a question for Patrick or Lori, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And, I think that I think the thing is that we're seeing just, I ain't got the words for this stuff, right?
Right.
I mean, what do you folks think? I mean, we need to share a program like this. Now, Patrick, I know, and this is going to be a question that everybody's going to ask, and that is that you're really sticking your neck out there by bringing this stuff
again.
But I have to say that when you've done that, it isn't whether you've been right on the assessment or not, or right on the facts or not. It's been, we really have some trouble trying to get justice in this county. I mean, do you go to the DA with this?
You should never not be afraid to tell the truth. You should always bring that forward.
Right.
When I found out that Matt Pontus was a convicted felon, I brought that out to the public to let them know. I think they had a right to know. That was withheld from the public. The board may or may not have even known. But those were the things that were going on inside this rotten county government before the good majority, conservative majority, really came on board in 2023. And we had to clean all that up. And a lot of it has. A lot of it has. We've had a lot of resignations, one firing of the health officer. And the firing of the health officer was very interesting because they'd never fired anybody ever. By firing that one person, it showed that this board can make the tough decisions and do that. And a lot of others were starting to, you know, the rats were jumping off the ship.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of change. And it was for the better. Some had said that, you know, we're losing all of our historical help and all this stuff. And it was, we just had some bad individuals and they needed to go. And for whatever reason, they seemed to flock to Shasta County. And one of the other issues that I took great offense with Sheriff Michael Johnson, and this was, I believe, in 2023, is the shutting down of a whole entire floor of the jail. And that's bad. But what was worse for me was I had to read about it in the paper. He didn't come to the board and say, hey, I'm really struggling with recruiting. I need some techniques. I need some money. I need something to keep those correctional officers happy within that jail. He didn't do any of that. He let that one floor, 100 inmates out. And then here's what the public doesn't know. In a private meeting thereafter, he came to me as vice chair and Chair Baugh and asked for $8 million raises for sheriff deputies.
Holy mackerel. Nope.
And he did it twice. And it was so upsetting to Chair Baugh that in that last meeting, Chair Baugh said, you know what, I don't understand this. I don't like this. I'm out. You're going to be chair next year. Good luck. And why I think he did that, to me, looking back, he did that because he had the big fat double dipping raise. I think some of his deputies knew about it. And this was a way for him to get all of them big fat raises. But it wouldn't have fixed anything at the jail. Not a thing. So he used that. He used...
Trying to leverage it.
Leveraging that, letting 100 inmates out to try to extort the board for more money. That's what happened in that year, in the late 2022 and into 2023. And I was very vocal about it. In the end, it only took 9 deputies coming off of their regular duty jobs to backfill in the jail to get it reopened. Only 9. Wow. And with a little public pressure, he was trying to blame the board. They were trying to make the case that the board was doing this. This had nothing to do with the board. This was the failed leadership of Michael Johnson. And that was disrupting. That was upsetting to me that he did that. It was unnecessary. It did not need to occur. And I don't appreciate being put over a barrel for $8 million to get the jail open, because that's not what it took. But that's what happened.
Well, and releasing the prisoners. That's the other thing. That now they're out in the community.
Yeah.
Like, really?
100 of them.
Yeah, 100.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, with that, we're going to go off to our one and only break so we can come back with Patrick, an extremely, extremely interesting show. A lot of breaking news here. He's broken it before last week, a bit of this, but we are going to take this to the mat. Mm-hmm. And with that, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Oh, won't you show me the way?
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Reading, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Cool April Nights kicks off this Friday with our downtown event, Spring Fest, including a walkabout blues concert, 4 to 9 p.m. Make sure to go to CoolAprilNights.com for a full schedule of events. Over 50 show and shines this year, 3 concerts, and 10 days of classic car fun. That's Cool April Nights Spring Fest downtown kickoff this Friday for Cool April Nights. 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. downtown Reading, right on Market Street. CoolAprilNights.com for a full downloadable schedule of events.
Turkey lips.
You know, and just, song, girl. And, you know, just thinking back, just, you know, because it's interesting to, I think my short-term memory is worse than my long-term memory sometimes. Ask me what I had for dinner last night. I might not be able to tell you, but thinking back to 2022, this was where Leonard Modi was recalled. Tim Garman came on board, and Tim had not flip-flopped yet. He still was reasonably decent at that time. So we're now into, you know, September, October of 2022. At that time, I believe Michael Johnson then was double-dipping at that time, right in and around at that time. And I think it was probably known within some of the deputies were knowing about this.
Right.
And then literally in December of that same year, he comes and hits us up for the big $8 million raise, all in that time frame. And again, I think this was to try to satisfy those that are saying, hey, you're making, you know,
we want ours too.
Yeah, we want, you got yours, now where's ours?
Where's ours, yeah.
And that all happened right in that time period and as we're transitioning from Chair Baugh to Chair Jones. And, you know, and so Michael Johnson was able to do that, kept it quiet. No one knew. Mm-hmm. The $8 million didn't come. We're not going to do that. And we didn't do that as a board. And so the timing was all in that time period.
So if the reasoning for, Sheriff Johnson was to shut down the floor and let 100 people out because they wanted more money, everybody wanted theirs. I mean, it sounds to me like there's a lot of very unethical things that are going on with this guy, what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, what about the license plate readers? What in the hell were the supervisors, what Kool-Aid were they drinking, giving someone like that accessibility to that kind of information? One of the supervisors told me, well, you know, everybody can see your license plate. Yeah, but everybody doesn't take it down and look for pertinent information on it. They can see it. They could write it down. But
what are they using it for?
What are they using it for? What are you using it for? I have a friend that has a home in the county, a nice home with a private road, right in front of the private roads, a camera. Who's going to go out there?
I mean, I think if you look at it at the bigger picture, do we need more government surveillance?
No.
Right? I mean, it's already, I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of my cell phone just for that reason, right?
Yeah,
they
right.
They track your cell phones. Well, I don't want, not that I do anything wrong, but I don't really want the government to know everywhere I go.
It's an invasion of your privacy, you know? Whether you do anything or not.
And I didn't support and voted no every time we had the Redflex contract with the city of Redding.
Right.
And
that would be the red light cameras, correct?
That's red light cameras, right. Photo enforcement, and there are right. 10 or 12 intersections. And at the point, we had two votes to end the contract, but we never could get to three. And so it's just more, you know, photographs taken of you, more opportunity for them to cite you. And this is kind of a similar situation where they can use it against you or they can use it for you. And you'd have to ask most people in law enforcement, Are they there to help you or to hurt you, right? And, you know, and I love law enforcement. I have a degree. I'm post-certified. I have a degree in administration of justice. And so I believe in law and order. But there is and we need that, absolutely. And most of the city and the county budgets go to that. But do we need more? Just because we already have a lot of surveillance, is it okay to have more? I would say.
What was the purpose?
Right. That is the question. What is the
ultimate
reason to have that? What does it boil down to?
There are some reasons, legitimate reasons, in that if there is an Amber Alert or.
We had one 3 years ago.
Right. Or if there's a. If they're looking for a particular vehicle that's left a bank robbery suspect, you know, and they have a certain vehicle or partial license plate. I mean, there are some reasons. The problem is. It's government, and we conceive abuses, right? We've seen abuses all the way from school boards all the way up to the presidency and everything in between. And from what I've seen at the city of Reading, what I've seen at the county in the past, there's abuses, you know. And, you know, we all expect people to do what's right, but that's not – we've seen, you know, Matt Pontus, what he's done, Ruben Cruz, what he's done, Leonard Modi, what he's done. We've just seen too much to see that I think power corrupts people, money corrupts people. And so I think it was a mistake for them to do this. I think if you ask the majority of the people, they wouldn't want more surveillance. They want less, not more.
Right.
And so this is where I don't believe that you're listening to the public. You're listening to your staff. And you don't, you know, and getting some information and opinions from staff is fine. That's why they're there. They get paid well to do that. Doesn't mean you have to take it.
Yeah, you know, and it seems to me like all the people that you've mentioned all were doing things that could be considered nefarious, and they were doing those things for their self-benefit. And none of it was really to serve the greater good. I do not see how the license plate readers serve the greater good. I mean, first of all, it's amazing to me. And also, you know, when you look at what's going on with the sheriff himself, I mean, there was a lot of things back during COVID, that he had done that, was kind of questionable. At one particular meeting that you, had in front of the Board of Supervisors, that was a meeting.
You mean when my key card was deactivated?
Right.
Yeah, your card, which was illegal.
So once again, we go back to 2022.
Oh, my gosh. Yep.
There is a recall movement going on with Leonard Modi. The signatures have been verified. It's approaching the election to recall Leonard Modi. The motivation to recall him was strong. The opposition was doing, you know, the grassroots movement led by stay-at-home moms was tremendous. And the board, at a very unusual, on a 3-2 vote, made Leonard Modi chair. And he then went off the rails. And in fact, we call it the Modi rant. It was filmed, and in fact, a very, very good YouTube ad was put out there. It got tons of
views. Over a million.
Yeah, I mean, people really saw
over a million views.
Leonard Modi in his finest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The very next meeting, we knew that was going to be a packed house, and it's right before the election. So mm-hmm. What did Leonard Modi, Ruben Cruz, Eric Magrini, and Matt Pontus do up on that Thursday before the next meeting up on the third floor at 1450 Court Street? We saw them all going in. They decided to deactivate my key card and not allow us to have a meeting at 1450 Court Street.
Yeah.
So again, these are the bad actors that are doing things behind the scenes, but we now know who they are and what they did.
And don't forget the sick out with Mary Rickard. Right?
Right.
Joe Comente and Leonard Modi decided all at the same time they weren't going to show up, even though they'd been coming in via Zoom other times, but all of a sudden, none of them can do that, so you don't have a quorum, right?
So on that Monday, after they had made that decision up at the third floor, somebody calls me and says, I don't think your key card's working. And so I go down there, sure enough, my card is not working. And that's Monday, and we have a meeting, supposed to have a meeting there. It's scheduled to have a meeting there at 1450 Court Street the next day. And so I called up a production company and said, hey, I need a big screen TV out front, and we're going to have a public meeting. We're going to have a lot of people here. We're going to have 100, 150 people here, which we did.
Mm-hmm. Mostly women and children, by the way.
Right, most of the people 70%. That were working hard on the recall of Leonard Modi. And so we got that set up. We had to stay through the night for security to make sure that it wasn't, because it took all night to get this thing up. I paid for that out of my own pocket, by the way. And then we held a public meeting the best that we could. Well, little unbeknown to me, in fact, during that meeting, Terry, you approached me and said, did you notice the drone overhead? And I looked up and I said, well, I do now. And then shortly thereafter, you had said that it appears that there are SWAT team assembled behind 1450 Court Street.
And there was. We have pictures.
Yeah, we do.
And pictures were taken. And then we noticed that there were some plainclothes officers or deputies across the street.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, while I'm trying to conduct the best public meeting that I can, we had two, it looks like, paid agitators, Marv and Nathan, come in to try to incite a riot.
Yep.
And they were picking fights, calling people names, trying to get a punch thrown.
Yep.
The drone overhead would pick it up.
Yep.
The guys in back would come in and make arrests that these people, these recall, these people,
women
that are
and children,
right? These ladies that are recalling Leonard Modi are violent.
Yeah.
Well, there was no violence, and even though these two attempted that, that was all orchestrated on the third floor by all the bad actors mentioned.
Well, let me say one thing about that too. Is during that time when all that was going on at that particular meeting out front, We had a security guard, and I would say he was elderly, and that's putting it mildly. And after that whole thing happened, and I'm maybe getting ahead of myself here, but I did ask Sheriff Johnson, I said, why didn't you just put, if you were, he had admitted that there was a SWAT team, he admitted all that stuff eventually. And even though it was denied at first, which you can go into a bit, Patrick, on how that happened. And I asked him, I go, why did you even do that? And he goes, well, maybe I got bad advice. And I said, well, what you should have done, Sheriff Johnson, is have two deputies there. If you would have had just two deputies, one deputy on standing out there with us, everything would have been deterred. You wouldn't. Why'd you have to have a SWAT team and plainclothes law enforcement across the street and a drone? And that was all denied by the lady who represents the sheriff as a spokesperson. And then the next day.
In writing.
Yeah, I know.
Because now, and the SWAT team obviously is assembled at the direction of the sheriff.
100%.
So the sheriff set that up. And he did that because Matt Pontus and Leonard Modi asked him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, probably against his better judgment, I would hope.
He told me he got bad advice.
But he did it anyways.
Yeah.
And he's the sheriff. He doesn't need, again, we all listen to the CEO, and they give us opinions, but we don't have to take those advice. When it's wrong, you don't do it.
Right.
But he did it. And he used taxpayers' money to have those SWAT guys around the back. They're watching for devious means. You know, they were trying to create something. They were trying to incite a riot. That's a felony. That's not good for your sheriff to be involved in such activity. Now, he said it was for the supervisor's security. That's incorrect. There was not supervisors there. There was a supervisor, me, and I can guarantee you at that time, the sheriff is not concerned about my security, nor should he be.
And that crowd was not going to do anything to you.
In fact, we all went out, we got pizza for the kids. They were all hungry, so somebody went to Caesars, and we all chipped in some money so they could, the kids could eat something, and we really didn't have any protection. I don't really know whether, you know, it's kind of hard. Maybe a matter of opinion whether it was everything was staged or it wasn't staged or whatever the case may be. But the deal is that it happened, and the way it unfolded. How come he didn't prevent that? How can you not even have the common sense as a sheriff to say, well, we need a couple of deputies with this thing going on outside. We probably should have some deputies. Instead of having plainclothes, a law enforcement across the street, a drone, and a SWAT team. What the hell?
Well, I mean,
what was he thinking?
You know, I would say it's very different than that. I really would. I would say that, you know, Leonard Modi was in serious trouble.
Yeah.
His rant that he went on prior, one meeting prior, it's going to put him in a very bad position. So they were throwing out a Hail Mary to try to resurrect this thing, his bad behavior. And so they orchestrated all of that, cutting my key code, my key card, so it would not function.
That's illegal, isn't it?
They had no authority to do
that. Yeah, that's illegal.
And so they're allowing all that to happen because they're trying to save something with Leonard Modi, and they really are trying to incite a riot.
Yeah.
They're trying to create it, and they send in those two guys. They were so obvious that it wasn't funny for anybody that was there.
Very obvious. They started to try to incite some people that I know, because they came and told me the story after, trying to agitate one to get, like, the spouse to react.
Yeah.
But they all saw it. Yep. Everybody had been advised, this is a calm meeting. Let's keep it that way. And so all the people that came to support, you know, you being up there and support the meeting, the county, the people, they were all very just reasonable and
you know, there's, I mean, either that or our sheriff is so inept, but after all the other things that I've heard here and all the other things, letting the prisoners out, closing the floor, trying to get them $8 million, trying to doing this thing with the salary, feeling he doesn't have any obligation, it's hard for me really to trust someone with the authority with a license plate reader camera. I mean, what in the world? What in the world are people thinking?
Well, and again, you know, you have a very bad group of people around them, and we're talking most of the county council, not all, but there was, you know, we had like eight of them at the time, and I would say at least half of them were just rotten.
Right.
You've got a convicted felon as a CEO that has kept that from the public, right? So there's a secret. Leonard Modi knows that secret, right?
And used it as leverage over
him. Eric Magrini knows that secret, right? So you've got this, you've got these secrets that are being held. And then you've got Sheriff Johnson now that's got a secret now that he's double dipping and is the highest paid person in Shasta County, in government. So all these secrets leading to bad things. And, you know, and it just took some bravery, with some new board members to start opening this up.
And okay. We have a caller on the line now. I apologize if this is your name.
Letitia.
Letitia. Is this Letitia?
This is Letitia.
There you go.
Okay, all
right. Good morning.
Okay, go ahead.
Good morning. Hey, so back in 2017, this county broke ground at my home. The result of all of it, I ended up having to foreclose my house. They slandered my name. They made it as I was somebody that needed to be watched, threw me under 24-hour surveillance.
Who is they?
The county. This county did.
So the sheriff's department did?
The sheriff was involved in it.
Okay.
People from the county building was involved in it.
Okay.
I ended up fighting a case for 5 years that was totally not the truth. I won the case in 2022, and then they sent it over to the DOJ as if I was found guilty. I lost my job. Anytime I get into somebody's car, I'm under wrongful surveillance because they track wherever I'm at and whatever I'm doing. I agree 1,000% with Patrick Jones. I know he's not lying about anything. This county is corrupt. The sheriff involved in this county is corrupt. It's all not, it's totally unfair, and it's totally inhumanity.
Well, obviously, 2017 was, you know, I was out of office at that time, but I don't disagree, you know, that resource management, we've had some really bad resource managers going back from Russ Moll to Rick Simon to Paul Hillman, and then, of course, you had Eric Magrini in there as sheriff, and so, you know, I don't dispute anything that you've said.
I reached out for help from the sheriff, and you know what? They all made me feel like I was crazy. I was never crazy.
Yeah.
I was never crazy. This is really happening here.
Yeah, no, we had the worst possible government that you could have. Now, keep in mind, the city isn't any better, to be honest. Barry Tippin, Mike Warren, Kurt Starman, I mean, it takes the council and it takes the board to make the changes. Now, I will say changes is happening at the board for the better. We do have new people, and we are trying to right some wrongs. We are identifying the wrongs, and we're trying to fix those. And what I'm bringing up today is just uncovering something that happened and telling the truth, getting the public to know
absolutely
the truth.
Absolutely.
You know, and so
I was just notified by somebody from the county to, I have to email this, I have to write an email up and tell my story. And they're like, what do you want us to do? What do you want from us? She's like, I don't care if it takes one day. I don't care if it takes 3 months. I don't care if it takes 6 months. But she's like, I want you to write it. And she said, I also want you to get a hold of Kevin Cry.
Sure.
You know?
Well,
nothing ever comes out of this. for me, at least it will be closure.
Well,
you know?
What district are you in?
Are
you in Kevin Christ District?
I think so.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to have to let you go, Letitia, because we do have another caller on the line, but thank you for the call. Okay.
Thank you, Letitia.
No problem.
John? John, what say you?
Hey, how's it going? Let me turn the radio down. Hey, you know, I was just listening to the show, and I just wanted to chime in on the flock cameras. And, you know, I mean, it sounds good and everything, and we're always willing to give up our civil liberties for, you know, sacrifice them for a false sense of security. Anyways, if you guys remember during COVID, 15 days to flatten the curve, yada, yada, you know, what this technology could be used for. I mean, you look at the red light cameras, you accidentally don't stop all the way, you get a $500 ticket, and whatever, okay, it makes traffic safer or makes people safer, but when you, if you look at, like, what if we had another shutdown like that, or what if we went back to, like, the 70s where they started rationing fuel and you're not supposed to drive certain days and things like that. I mean, so all I'm saying is that the abuse of power and the corruption of government throughout history shows that these flock cameras could be used for a totalitarian agenda, you know, in the future, whether their intention is good or not. And that's all I was saying.
Well, John, I got a question for you. Stay with us, because I've got a question. Yeah. So first of all, share this program when we're done, okay?
Absolutely.
And the other thing, is, too, is that how do you, after everything we've heard Patrick say, I mean, they're, I mean, all this, doesn't that give you a little bit of mistrust over the sheriff?
I mean, it's
sort of like, what could they use it for? Like you said, I mean, you're right. They could use it for many things that could be overreaching and nefarious. I think that they're unconstitutional.
Okay, a criminal could hack into this system. These systems are easily hackable. Mm-hmm. So whether you trust government or not, which I, for the most part, don't, but I'm not an anarchist, but I do think that a lot of people in government are corrupt, but regardless of that, you could have criminals hack into these systems. What if they wanted to pull a picture of your children off of Facebook or something like that, and then they would know exactly everywhere you go, what your routines are, and, you know, these types of surveillance systems have been used for targeting kidnappings of children and going into, you know, that whole world I'm not going to get into, but there's a lot of ways that these systems could be abused by the government and by criminals.
Hey, John, also, too, this is a modern-day way of doing a show-us-your-papers. You know, we don't have the toll gates anymore with people at armed guards, you know, standing at the gate, assessing your papers to let you pass. This is a modern day version of it. So they get the pictures, they can track you down, and they know where you reside. So this is a modern day spin 100%. On doing that. That's the way I look at it.
So you look at Agenda 21, which is now repackaged as Agenda 2030 and the 15-minute cities and all that kind of stuff. This goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's all part of that, but even if I'm wrong, it could be used for that, like I said, even if the intentions are good to catch criminals. But the reality is, what if they say, well, you're only allowed to drive on Mondays and Fridays,
right?
If your license plate is odd or even or whatever, and then they could say, well, you're not really allowed to leave outside of this boundary, so whatever zone you're in, you're basically not allowed to leave, and if we catch you, we're going to turn your digital currency off, which could be coming in the future. And I know I'm getting kind of far-reaching.
No, not really. That's the thing. It really isn't far-reaching. Go ahead.
But also, too, what about it throwing it over to the DMV?
Yeah.
We're tracking that you're going from home to wherever you're going, and you're seen going at these different locations, so they know that your mileage is not going to be accurate, right?
And
so it's another way to spin that in this commie state of California.
Yeah, and if you have an electric car, they will shut your car off remotely.
Right.
Well, the one advantage with this system is we could pull over all Chevys, because that would be.
Hey, John, I love you, man. We're gonna have to let you go.
I love you guys too. No, absolutely. Thanks for giving me the time to throw my 5 cents out there.
Great stuff. Share the program.
And hey, John, you're a real patriot.
You are a patriot.
He's gonna be the one out barbecuing next week in Shasta Lake.
And he's a great cook.
Yeah, he's the.
We're still eating those pork chops, John. Anyway, yes, we have another call online. Is Lori still with us?
Yep.
Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, you guys. Yeah, great topic. I wish we could have more time with it. Maybe
we are going to have follow-up. Rearrange some scheduling.
I want to just insert some instigator bad actors. Most everyone knows, if they've been at these board meetings or watched them, the people, the code of conduct being broken, even way back when you had the big screen and the you had to handle that public meeting, Patrick, those folks were absolutely after a lot of us because they didn't like our opinion maybe on whatever issue. But keep in mind, there was always an attorney in hand with her cell phone on, ready to go, just so that entrapment intention.
Yep.
And so look at what's happening now. We've got the board meetings with that one female that will not stop threatening, intimidating, and whatnot. And that's why a lot of us just, it's no use in attending. And I do appreciate Chair Kellstrom, you know, saying one warning, that's it. I mean, that does help. But it's still, it's just that whole thing. If anybody wants to add to the fact that these bad actors are still around, I'm sure they recruit some other people. I've just met at the courthouse another person that was acting like you know who. His name is Oliver. I do have his last name. But, yeah, they just, you know, create the next batch of, you know, bad actors.
Lori, didn't that attorney just have a case get thrown at her and she's in trouble?
Yeah, I think most of you know about that.
Yeah.
Patrick knows she was sentenced, and I believe May 1st she starts to serve time. And
criminal.
There better be room in that jailhouse. That's what I'm saying. I've been victimized, tortured, cyberbullied for a long time.
Yep.
Years and years. So, go ahead and cover that topic and we'll listen on the air.
Thank you,
Lori. And I can say that this attorney that has been found guilty and is sentenced on May 1st, she'll be going to the Shasta County Jail. And I can tell you, I've done a walkthrough. It's kept very clean. She'll get to spend 12 hours with a very good friend in a cell, 12 hours at a time with a blue mat. There are two blue mats, a sink and a toilet. And then she'll get let out on the floor for 12 hours while the others go in for 12 hours. So they rotate on a 12-hour shift. There's not a towel out of place. There's no towels. There's nothing. You have a blue mat. So she's going to be very friendly with that blue mat over the next 30 days. And I hope her time is spent well inside, and I hope she learns from that because she has injured person because of her bad habits.
Right.
Hey, interesting note. For some bizarre reason, Modi actually has an IMDb biography. That's the movie site, and it's written by Anonymous. But I'm like, why does he need to be on IMDb? That's just nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Red light and blueprint, probably.
Now, one little announcement. If folks have not kept up with Shasta and Non, I really like the videos that they've done. They're going to be releasing one here very soon, maybe today. It's definitely going to be worthwhile to take a look. So that's Shasta Anon, A-N-O-N.
I love what they put out. They are so good.
They do a lot of good research, and, you know, so a good organization. They are anonymous.
Hats off to them. Hats off.
So go on. Hopefully later today you'll see a new one coming out. Should be interesting.
Now, we're going to probably run out of time here, but I want to bring you both back maybe even as soon as next week. And I'm looking at that. There is somebody else coming in. I'm not really sure whether that person's going to do it or not, but really and truly, we only scratched the surface on this. This is really, really big news, folks. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, we're looking at ethics here. Who do you want to bring into office? Who do you want to have be the servants, public servants? And I say that very loosely. And what we have now, but this.
And it'll be interesting right now to see if the board takes action on this.
I hope so.
I think it's very easy for them to create an ordinance to solve this problem going forward, because I guarantee you if an elected official is going to try to double dip and it gets on an agenda, the public is going to be highly agitated at the double dipping. And again, in the past, it was totally illegal. People would be put in prison for this.
Right.
And now it's acceptable because they passed this thing in Sacramento quietly in the night in 2017. Now, obviously, we have an election coming up June 2nd, and a lot of these elections are going to be over June 2nd. If someone gets 50% on the county races, they will win outright. Encourage everybody to go out and vote on June 2nd and go to your precinct and vote and use your ballot. And, you know, it's going to be a very important one. I know the board is not wanting to take a lot of controversial things before the election, but I think on this one, I think they should.
I agree, and they've got to be looking at those cameras. They've got to be looking at that. They've really got to be looking at the sheriff. And, you know, it really,
you know, we haven't even gotten in there, scratched the surface on Measure B and the position of the county council and how all that stuff is just such. Somebody needs to remind our board that they serve the people. And I don't think that goes for all of them, and I think I'll give some of them the maybe not a pass, but, you know, you're learning, or maybe you don't quite, you're getting bad advice. Quit taking the bad advice.
Well,
none
know,
of you are rookies anymore. You're not rookies anymore.
Well, the board is a fairly new board, to be honest. It's fairly new, and so you're going to lean on staff, but get second opinions, right? Yep. There's always other opinions
well,
out
think
there.
Think for yourself.
And that's why time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
KCNR, Shasta Reading.
Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Attention affiliates.